Chapter 5, Exigency of Action. Action is inevitable. Action is the insignia of life. The law of life proclaims that none can remain without performing activity. Everyone is made to act helplessly according to one's own inner temperament. Yet, if you choose to remain idle, you lead yourself to destruction. Nature draws your attention to this law. Observe the stagnant pool and the running brook. Where water stagnates, it turns filthy, dirty, whereas running water is clear, pure. Learn the lesson from nature. If you are to succeed in life, be prosperous and peaceful, you must adopt the principle of running waters. Follow their line of action. The river keeps moving, overcoming all obstacles, ever progressing. It never stops until it reaches the ocean. So must you pursue the path of action until you reach the abode of truth. The Bhagavad Gita highlights the gospel of karma, action, emphasizes the importance of fulfilling your obligatory functions in life. The scripture warns that even to maintain your body, you must be active. If any part of your body remains inactive for a period of time, it loses its strength and vitality. Your body needs to be kept in constant repair. You must exercise daily, but people detest the idea of physical exercise. Instead, they choose to indulge in sensual pleasure. They do not seem to realize that even enjoyment of sensual pleasures needs proper maintenance of the physical body. The neglect of physical exercise would prove detrimental to your material and spiritual well-being. Hence, the first spiritual lesson Swami Vivekananda gave out to his followers was, go, play football. Vedanta insists on work, work, and work. Equally so, it glorifies renunciation. There is an apparent contradiction. How can action and renunciation go together? This doubt goes when one understands the deeper import of the gospel of work. In fact, real work is founded on renunciation. Renunciation of the ego, which is work performed without the egoistic feeling, I am the doer, I am the sole architect of all that I do. Real work is turned out when the body plunges into action, while the mind is attuned to an ideal set for it. A true worker is one who pours out his efforts for a higher cause beyond his selfish interest, and does it without an egoistic arrogation of doership. That is the spirit of renunciation to be practiced. Such work commands success and prosperity concurrently with peace and bliss. You can practice it in your home, in business, in society, everywhere. There is no need to retire to the forest for living a life of renunciation. The greatest ideal in life is realization of your Supreme Self, Atman, God. Try to attune yourself to that ideal. When your mind is directed to the Self within and your body is engaged in earnest work, you rise above your little self. Your ego gradually disappears. The idea of I and mine drops off. You are the greatest worker when you consider yourself no worker. you become a mere instrument of the Divine Self. You then generate harmony, peace and love within and without. The idea of working in a spirit of renunciation has confused people. Even today, this concept is not understood, much less appreciated as a way of life. People either become attached, entangled in their work, or cowardly escape from it. You must realize that action is inevitable. You cannot avoid your obligatory functions. In the epic Mahabharata, a great battle was fought between two royal forces. Arjuna was a warrior prince leading one of the armies. He aimed at destroying unrighteousness and resurrecting righteousness in the country. The stage was set for the battle to commence. At that crucial moment, Arjuna wanted to withdraw from the scene. The warrior declined to fight. He shrank from his obligatory duty. He appealed to Lord Krishna if he could leave the battlefront. It was then that the Lord gave Arjuna the sermon of the Bhagavad Gita. He preached the necessity of action, the art of right action, how the role of action embraces the principle of renunciation. He advised Arjuna to renounce his egoistic feeling and fight the battle impersonally for the welfare of the people. The Gita pressed home the role of action in the spiritual path, yet the Indians consider it a text more for retired and the old. Ironically, the Gita's subtle principles of action are practiced more beyond the shores of India. In most Western countries, people have kept the nation as their altar above their little selves and dedicated work to the nation's prosperity and welfare. Consequently, they have become progressive, productive, and prosperous.